You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, you beautiful listeners. I come to you from Budapest, Hungary. I tell you how we arrived here unexpectedly after planning to be in Germany for the month of August. But first, last week I shared a story of coming through London Heathrow Airport. We actually have a layover at Heathrow on the way back to the States. And since the UK is now under a totalitarian regime, I've got to watch what I say. I can't believe what I'm about to say, but under their new PM, the guy's name is Keir Starmer, the UK has basically fallen to tyranny. No, I'm serious. That's my best impression of a political figure who clearly has some form of dementia. Or a stutter, one of the two. But seriously, there have been about 1,000 arrests of people who have made posts online. A member of parliament said last week that a stopover in Heathrow isn't safe for Americans who have spoken out about immigration. I've spoken out about immigration. And they happened to have me on tape playing tug-of-war with some TSA gal over some damn Icy Hot. But yeah, according to the New York Post, it says, one key aspect that makes this apparent crackdown on social media particularly shocking to critics is that the British government is threatening to extradite American citizens from the U.S. to be jailed in the U.K. for violating their rules about political speech online. Good news is, I'm sure if I were to be thrown in the clink, the Biden administration would work diligently for my release, don't you think? At least judging by their efforts to get the American hostages out of Gaza. Then more recently, the founder CEO of Telegram was arrested in France. Is X next? X, formerly Twitter? I remember Biden saying Elon Musk should be looked into. Remember that? So I can tell you, it feels good to be broadcasting from Europe. While white people are being rounded up for speaking their mind, it feels real good. I'm comfortable, very comfortable here. Got my Hey Dudes on, which, by the way, if you don't own a pair of Hey Dudes yet, you don't know what you're missing. Most comfortable shoe I have ever put on my Toe-cheesies. Toe-cheesies, that's what the nurse called them first time we saw my little boo's feet on the ultrasound. And it just kind of stuck. My daughter likes when I say Toe-cheesies, and that's my command to put her shoes on. Listen to this Twitter beef I got into recently, or X beef. There was a gal who said, I was actually too mad to post about this yesterday, but I was sitting in a room with a dad and a toddler, and the toddler's shoes were on the wrong feet. Knowing it must have been awkward and maybe painful, I said, oh, your shoes, they're on the wrong feet. Dad then tells me that the kid put them on wrong and as a punishment has to wear them on the wrong feet all day. I shot him a look that could freeze ice, but said nothing for the kid's sake. What the F is some parent's problem? You never make mistakes. Get help. Unbelievable. So here's what I said. My toddler does this all the time. I think it's cute. Could see myself telling this empath the same thing, because she called herself empathetic in a response to somebody else. She said, have some empathy. So I said, she'd either realize it means F off when I tell her this, or use it as content, I guess. And then some broad chimes in and says, imagine a coach who doesn't teach his own toddler a simple skill like putting their shoes on the right feet because it's cute. Get a flippin' grip. So I said, also cute, you'd think a toddler with shoes on the wrong feet has never been taught the correct way. I would say, get a flippin' kid, but I don't make stupid assumptions. People are something. All right, I got sidetracked. I kind of do that as a rule. Maybe it's ADHD. Who knows if that's a thing? Something I read recently is that having ADHD might mean that you descend from badass hunters. Since it's a condition that's prevalent among boys and men, it's now believed by some that those who had the condition during hunter-gatherer times would have been the best hunters, therefore better able to provide for the tribe. I've talked about this before too, but it's believed by some, again, that most men's vices were once virtues. So men, don't feel bad about having to fight your inherent nature. It is hardwired into us. Examples would be propensity to violence, which was obviously needed in hunter-gatherer times. Promiscuity, you were needed to spread your seed. Gambling, some of our ancestors took massive risks for us to be here. So don't hate yourself. I saw this video the other day with this married couple sitting on the couch. The wife wanted to play the hall pass game, meaning if there's one person in the world you could sleep with, who would it be? And the husband is like, oh, I don't want to play that game. But she's insistent. She's like, oh, come on, honey, come on, it'll be fun. I'll go first. So she goes, mine would be Brad Pitt. What about you? Who would be yours? And he says, mine would probably be Joanne next door. We are in Budapest, ADHD, he told you. We had plans to be in Berchtesgaden for a month. Well, things don't always go as planned. So our second night in Germany, the wife was taking a shower. Do you say taking a shower? Like, I'm going to take a shower or I'm going to take a bath? I notice every family says this a little different. So when I was a kid, my grandma in New Orleans, she lived in a shotgun house with one bathroom. So when it was time for her to take a bath, she would say, does anybody need to go to the bathroom? Because they only have one. She says, I'm going to go run my water. So you go in the bathroom while the water's running. And of course, she would say water because they don't pronounce their R's down there. The hard R at the end doesn't exist. So you can't accuse them of racism. They say quarter, burger, even beer. Hey, Sally, bring me a beer, would you? So anyway, does anybody need to go to the bathroom before I get in? I'm going to take my bath, is what she would say. My bath. And I'm curious if you call it my bath or my shower. I've never called it that. And I've been to people's houses where they say, oh, it's time for my bath. And I think, that's weird, but it reminds me of my grandma, so I kind of like that. So anyway, my wife gets out of the shower. There's 4 inches of water in there. And it's all soapy, which is good if my daughter's going to get in there next to take a bath with her toys. But it was just a stand-up shower, and we wanted to get it unclogged. So I get the plunger, try to unclog it, no help. Go to the grocery store, get some Drano, follow the instructions, use my translator app from German, no help. So I call the owner. And I said, dude, we're not able to unclog this thing. What should I do? So he sends a plumber, and the plumber snakes the thing. That night, we couldn't turn on the lights in the bathroom or the kitchen or anywhere else. So I called him, and I said, hey, the electricity's out. And he said, well, that's odd. And so he sent me to the electrical box to start flipping some switches. Nothing helped. Electricity's out. So he comes home 5 hours. He lives in Hungary, comes 5 hours to Berchtesgaden and finds the downstairs flooded. So when the plumber snaked the place, he must have had a pipe burst and floods the downstairs, ruins the electrical box. And so he basically tells us, I'm sorry, you have to leave. And we were supposed to be there for a month. So this might help if you're considering doing Airbnb, because I didn't realize this. As a host, there's an insurance policy that if a tenant is in the house when a pipe bursts, for example, they have a $3 million policy to cover the cost of the repair. Lovely, right? Well, we hadn't been contacted yet about getting our 3 weeks stay back. You know, I paid for a month in advance. So I complained. They refunded us, thankfully. But we had to be out of the house at a moment's notice. And I searched on Airbnb and other sites. There was nothing available starting the next day for the next 3 weeks. And if there was, it was like 3 or 4 times the cost. So I rounded up the family and I said, we gotta get out of here. And so I looked in Salzburg, Munich, all the major Euro cities around there. There was nothing remotely affordable because it's the most beautiful time of year weather-wise, and that's when they have a lot of music festivals. Pretty much every city had a music festival, so all the rates were jacked up beyond what they would normally be in the summer. Well, I had been to Budapest. I knew it was beautiful. My wife and I had been. And because it's in Eastern Europe, everything gets more affordable as you go east from Western Europe. So we found an affordable place. And we had to buy train tickets for the following day. So we had to get out at a moment's notice. There were only 3 hotel rooms available in Salzburg. nothing cheaper than 200 euro a night. So we had that expense. And then when you book train tickets the night before, it's three times the cost. So we were looking at 300 euro to train to Budapest with a three-year-old. Luckily, she can pull her own suitcase, which is lovely. Don't travel with a young one until they can pull their own suitcase. Downside is kids fly free up until 2 years old. Beyond that, you have to get them a ticket. So pros and cons. Anyway, so I itemized my expenses, sent them to Airbnb, knowing that they have this wonderful policy for sellers or for hosts. What can they do for the buyer? So finally, they relented and gave me $300. So that was nice. Thought you might like to know that. So that's how we ended up in Budapest. I'll tell you a little bit about Budapest. It's often referred to as the Paris of the East. For my money, there's not a more beautiful city in the world. The architecture alone makes the place worth visiting. And like most European cities, they're restricted on how tall buildings can be. So there are five-story buildings throughout the city with the most intricate designs. I find myself taking pictures of buildings just about everywhere I go. We're staying a couple blocks from the Hungarian Parliament building, which is easily the most beautiful government structure in the world. My daughter calls it a castle for good reason. The Parliament building and the flat where we're staying, they use flat interchangeably with apartment, by the way. That's what Euros call an apartment, basically is a flat. Both Parliament and our flat are on the Pest side. So they pronounce Budapest here, Budapest. So we're on the Pest side of the Danube River that flows through Budapest. And just this morning, I met somebody who was on a Viking cruise. You see those commercials all the time. Of course, I asked where they came from. They started in southern Germany. She says she's done the other portion that goes from the Netherlands to Germany. So I think they have different routes you can take. I, of course, asked pointed questions. I was like, I've seen it's like $12,000, $15,000 a person. Is it really that expensive? Oh, no, we paid six. What? For how many days? 10. 10 days, $6,000? Did that include the flight? And she said, no, but it would have if we had done it within 30 days of coming. But we wanted to book early, thinking we would save money. The problem was they couldn't fill the boat. They were trying to fill beds, so they discounted the flight to nothing. So they included the flight for $6,000 for 10 days to do a Viking cruise down the Danube River. How about that? Anyway, so they pronounce Budapest Budapest, which is comprised of Buda on the west side of the Danube and then Pest on the east side. Now, the most desirable location, if you plan to visit here, is on the Pest side. There's a famous street called Vasi Utca. The St. Stephen's Basilica is on the Pest side. Heroes Square and also the Parliament building are all on the Pest side. And then on the Buda side, you have Buda Castle, the Citadel, Fisherman's Bastion, and the area is super clean. And views from the Fisherman's Bastion are incredible. They say if you live here, you'd want to live on the Buda side. But if you're just visiting, you'd want to stay on the Pest side, close to the areas I mentioned, Vasi Utca, St. Stephen's, that sort of thing. Oh, on migration, this just came out not too long ago, that the EU is going to fine Hungary 200 million euro for not allowing migrants. So evidently they violated the asylum policy, but Viktor Orban, their president, basically just threw up the middle finger and said, yeah, we're not doing that, like the rest of like Western Europe, basically. Budapest is also known for its thermal baths. We went to one called Lukács, just on the other side of the river from our place. I had been to Gellert baths and the Sinchi baths before, and they're way better than the one that we tried last week. You've probably seen pictures of the Sinchi baths. We did go there also recently. It's really awesome. It's a two-story building that surrounds the baths. It's real old and fancy looking. Well, they're all old. In fact, the Lukács bath I read dates back to the 13th century. The way it works, it's 12,000 forint per person. So forint is their currency. They're one of, I believe, 20 EU countries that don't, they're not on the euro. So they're holding out. But 12,000 forint is about $30 a person. That entitles you to an all-day pass. Kids are free. But one of the things you quickly realize is that there are very few kids there. In fact, there was only one pool that was accessible to kids, and there's probably 14 different pools. The way it works, they give you a wristband at the ticket office, which gets you through the turnstile, and then you use it to open your locker. Now, locker rooms are unisex, but they have what they call changing cabins. In certain pools, you have to wear a tight-fitting shower cap-looking thing on your head. I didn't wear that. Those were only reserved for special pools, kind of lap pools kind of thing. So as you walk through the buildings, they usually have two, maybe three or four floors, and there are different pools that look like huge hot tubs. And then there are signs on the wall letting you know the temperature of each one. So what I like to do is find the hottest one, usually 40 to 50 degrees Celsius, which is 104 degrees and up. And then from there, I either go to the steam room, which is the hottest steam I've ever experienced, and go from there to the coldest pool, which is usually much smaller than the hotter pools, and I've only seen where they have one at the different baths I've been to. It also has less people. I like to watch people enter the cold pool. Everybody pretty much makes the same face as if to say, oh, that's cold, and a lot of people get out, especially women. Women tend to get colder than men, if you haven't noticed. But I get used to it pretty quick because when I'm in this part of the world, I like to take very cold showers. The water in the shower here, when you turn it full cold, it takes your breath away. It's awesome. But the cold pool at this thermal bath was only 24 degrees Celsius, at least the one at Lukox. The one at Shinji got much colder, like 10 degrees Celsius. 24 degrees Celsius is only 75 degrees Fahrenheit. So that didn't bother me at all. I love the contrast of hot and cold. And this applies to cold treats. Shout out to my old friend Grant Toops, who calls a cold treat a CT. Boy, does my daughter love a CT. It's probably the only bribe I can use that works for her to be on her best behavior is the promise of ice cream. So yeah, whether I'm eating at the Cheddar's Scratch restaurant, it's a chain in the States. They have 186 locations in 28 different states. If there's not one where you live, you're missing out. What they do is, this is their dessert, at least their flagship dessert. They bake a chocolate chip cookie, and it takes about 20 minutes, they warn you. And then they put vanilla ice cream on top. It is as invigorating as the hot and cold plunge at a Turkish bath. Mentioning Grant's name reminds me, he was in my kindergarten class at St. Joseph Elementary School. It's always said that at Catholic school that the nuns are really mean, that if you get on their bad side, they'll hit you with a switch. That's all rumor. I never saw a switch. But I could never seem to get on their good side. I always felt like they didn't like me. I don't have a lot of lesbian friends. Could be a coincidence. Yeah, I don't know. I don't make that judgment. But our kindergarten teacher, Miss LaBeouf, Grant was in my class, she had an obsession with Clifford the dog. That's probably not relevant. No, maybe it is relevant because I don't know if you've noticed, but people tend to think others are good people when dogs and kids like them. Well, listen to this story. You tell me if she's a good person. Each table in our classroom had colored chairs. So when she wanted to put us in groups, she would call names and say, for example, Bradley, Grant, Lauren, Allison, y'all go to the yellow table that had the yellow chairs. Mary Grace, Eric, you go to the blue table. Well, I was put on the yellow table this one day, and we were given a toy set. Well, I noticed that the cow, this plastic cow, was mixed up in our toys and belonged in the farm toy set at the table next to us. So thinking I was doing a good deed, I get up to bring the cow to the table next to ours. Next thing I know, I get picked up by the ear and taken back to my table. I couldn't believe that. I hated Miss LaBeouf after that. And I imagine she's dead now because she wasn't a spring chicken back in 1985. But I'll say this. If I passed her grave tomorrow, I'd like to think I wouldn't spit on it. That's not something I would do. But I sure might find a plastic cow in my daughter's toy set and take a crow hop just to, I don't know, it would feel good. But rest in peace. Shit, same thing happened in first grade. I was probably talking to my neighbor when I shouldn't have been, and Miss Carol Kovar picked me up by the ear. They must talk amongst each other and find out what works. I don't know. She picked me up by the ear and took me to the chalkboard and told me to keep my nose on the chalkboard until the recess bell rang. Can you believe that, bitch? If somebody did that to my kid, if Carol Kovar were teaching my 5-year-old, I was six, teaching my six-year-old, and I've learned that she picked my kid up by the ear and drug him across the room to the chalkboard. I would find her, pick her up by the ear, and parade her around the teacher's lounge. That is freaking child abuse. I went to the Coldplay concert in Munich last weekend. Met my friend Jürgen, who lives in Nuremberg. Now, I had planned to meet him in Munich when we thought that we were going to be staying in Berchtesgaden for a month. It would have been a 90-minute train ride for me. Well, when we relocated to Budapest, it became an 8-hour trek due west instead. But I didn't want to let my buddy Schmergen down, so I made the trip. Here's some advice for you single men. When you tell your boo, your SO, that you're going to do something with a buddy, call them a friend. I'm meeting a friend for beers tonight. Don't say buddy. Why is that? Well, she's not going to tell you I'm meeting a girlfriend for drinks after work. No, she's going to call them a friend, whether it's her fat friend from college or some handsome stud she met at the gym. So set that precedent early that you have nights where you're going to hang out with friends too. Reclaim some ground on that. You're welcome. I'll be here all day. But later, I'm meeting a friend for a CT. Back to Coldplay. Do you have friends who are music snobs? I'm sure you do. We all do. You're probably thinking of somebody right now. They don't like any band or group who is liked by most people. As soon as they get to be a little popular, the band I'm talking about, they'll abandon them. They're too cool for school. Or maybe you have beer snob friends who only drink craft beer. That's who I'm talking about. But we still love them, right? We're all snobby about some stuff. For example, the place where we're staying now doesn't have a coffee maker, but they have a little kettle where I could heat up some water on the stove and a little jar of instant coffee I could mix into the water. I'm not doing that. I mean, come on, host. I will go and buy a drip coffee maker before I do the instant thing. So I'm a coffee snob. Well, I had a few friends who made fun of me for going to Coldplay. I consider it their loss because Coldplay puts on an amazing show. 65,000 people singing in the rain, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones. And they always start with this sound. I love this. Shoot across the sky. I love that. But here's my own personal Coldplay origin story. So in 2003, I visited my mom and stepdad who were living in Zwijndrecht, Holland, which is just outside of Dordrecht for you Dutch-minded folks. And I took a train to see Jürgen, who was living in Paris at the time. Well, as I was getting ready to paint the town one night, I noticed in his little jukebox next to the bed that there was a CD in there. So I hit play, and I heard The Scientist for the first time. And I said, whoa, who is this? This sounds good. Then the girl I traveled to Paris with and I broke up, and I couldn't listen to the song for a while. But I don't have any problems now, so it's become one of my all-time faves. But how cool that I got to see Coldplay in Munich 21 years after I first heard them in Jürgen's apartment in Paris. We're headed to Prague next, so I'll be coming to you from there next episode. I hope everyone listening is thriving. Hug it out with somebody you love. I have a rule in my house. Hugs have to have a 3-second minimum where it doesn't count. You got to do it over. When I was putting together bullets for this episode today, my daughter kept hugging up on me on the couch, which I love. But as much as I'd love to hug all day, I finally said, Aria, Dada needs to look over notes to prepare for the podcast. And she goes, and me, Aria, I have to help Lala eat her food. So Lala is her stuffed animal that she's slept with as long as she's been alive. Really cute. Take care, folks. Till next time. Thanks for tuning in.